各位 HCC 的委员午安，欢迎大家出席我们 HCC 第十八次的全体会议。一开始的时候先跟大家报告一件事，就是大家熟悉的黄月华小姐呢，就政府内部呢就调了职去了第二度了。咁就而家呢就由Amy 阮慧妍女士 Amy 冤呢就接替了黄月华女士嗰个 HCC 秘书嗰、那个嗰、那个工作。咁 Amy 呢其实就係啱啱喺欧洲日内瓦返嚟嘅 Geneva， 係咪係喺外边返嚟嘅。咁我哋欢迎 Amy。就开会之前呢，看看我们在座各位委员有没有人有什么利益申报事项啊之类，有没有？没有。OK。我们今天议程呢第一项呢就是一个 briefing 来的。咁呢就是请了我们的老朋友 Paul Zimmerman 呢 of Designing Hong Kong 呢就跟大家就做一个 briefing。个 briefing 呢就是有关佢哋 Designing Hong Kong 所组织嘅 Central Waterfront of Hong Kong 呢、个 International Urban Planning Design Competition 嘅成果。咁就大家都熟悉嘅 Paul 啦，咁我或者就唔介绍啦，不如就争取时间就 welcome back 我
Chairman, members of the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee, thank you for welcoming me back here. Designing Hong Kong has submitted to you various papers, so I will not go into too many details. Most of the details are encapsulated in the jury report, which sets out the background of this competition. To give you the big background is, town planning board, it was decided to ask for a refinement of 8 sites and to undertake an urban design study. We believe and have believed for a long time that mandate was extremely limited and that the urban design study for the central waterfront should be expanded to review the land uses, to review the transport infrastructure and services, and to review the land-water interfaces. For that reason, we've organized 3 activities over the last few years. One, we created our own model, a change model for the Harbour Boulevard model, which we presented to you earlier. A second activity we organized and participated in was with Citizen Envisioning at Harbour in a workshop last year, which resulted into a report, and which were primarily reviewing old projects, old submissions and design ideas for the central waterfront which had not been considered by the Town Planning Board or by the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee. And this report has been submitted to the Urban Design Study, which we hope is going to be included in the Phase 1 report. This is the third activity, to try to open up the Urban Design Study, to go beyond the current OZPs, and to look at the land uses, the transport, and the land-water interfaces in a broader way. Now, we realized that the legitimacy of our first effort to put a model together ourselves was not very good, because who are we to say that this is the best model for the waterfront? Therefore, we organized an international design competition, went around Hong Kong, asked for money, and we got sufficient funding to put $1 million budget together for the prize money. What I'd like you to do today is very briefly show you through the first phase of the competition. We had 82 design submissions, and below is a summary of some of the results. You can see that some of the designers that submitted proposals proposed interesting architecture, bold statements for the waterfront, like this tower next to the Convention Exhibition Center, or another tower in front of City Hall on the waterfront, to this one, which was very well covered by the newspapers, Urban Jungle. It also had the highest rating among the public votes for the exhibition, the first exhibition. And these are some of the other images. So interesting architecture, like this station complex, or the collapsed buildings running into the water, or modern shape buildings. But there's quite a number of the design proposals included various strong architectural elements. The other aspects that we can see coming through in the design proposals, in the 82 design proposals, is of course the call for waterfront promenades. This was the most elaborate waterfront promenade, with various walkways, but there is all kind of different shapes of walkways that were proposed. But quite a number of the 82 design proposals had a strong element of providing walkways, including this one, where there's an upper walkway over the water and a walkway right at the water. Different shapes of walkways, the continuation of our elevated walkway system all the way to the waterfront. You see also the very different styles coming through, choices that we as Hong Kong can make for our waterfront. Is it going to be a modern look, an activity like this? Or is it more classic? Do we have a covered walkway to enable people to walk around in inclement weather? Or do we go for a very classic look, almost a European style look and feel for what the waterfront is going to do in terms of activities? This was an interesting one, which I clipped as well. It takes you below sea level, and there's a big glass plate in the front which you can see, which allows people to see what is in the water in the harbour. And this is a proposal to have more of a classic street grid. Quite a number of the proposals looked at how to deal with the fact that we have a lot of infrastructure, and they came up with solutions basically providing a deck system. And the deck system comes back in many, many of the 82 proposals, where basically the infrastructure is underground and parks are on top, and some of the facilities and the land users are basically underground. And you see that these come through in many different proposals, including this one, which was ultimately number two. But you see all the different proposals were all different ideas for ways of elevating and providing decking system with different levels of walkways, taking something that we already have in Central to the next stage, basically providing connectivity, separation of traffic, and maximizing land and space available for public enjoyment. So this is a common theme in many of the different proposals. Including very specific ways. Now the other separation of traffic, other ideas come through as well, broadening the walkway and through to the Statue Square, other ways and techniques of separating traffic, and land users, buildings on stilts, more buildings on stilts and different layers. So that's also a common theme that comes back. So a lot of the designers have been working very hard with this issue of how do you deal with the fact that this area is a major transport interchange, and you try to have other users on top of that, and you provide public enjoyment as well. So overlaying and decking seems to be a common theme. Another common theme is to bring back water. And this is a little illustration of how people suggest to do that, but people have gone as far as providing very technical engineering drawings to demonstrate how an artificial pond can be recreated over the Central Wanzhou Bypass. And it comes again, these ideas come back in various forms and shapes. So bring back water instead of land in the reclaimed area with ponds, rivers, canals, round-shaped ponds, square ponds, or even little islands. Other ideas, of course, are for providing an island in the shape of the Bohemia, and lots of parkland, and quite a number of the proposals, they go from having large parkland available for people's enjoyment, whereas on the other side of the proposal are people saying, no, don't provide a lot of parkland, provide more facilities, more smaller land uses, so that there is more activity. And you can see in these proposals where there's a lot of smaller developments scattered around, creating lots of small streets, piazzas, little squares, narrowing the promenade, so that everything becomes more human scale, is a term that is being used by those proponents quite often, including this proposal, which was the third in the end. Now, there have been many different plans submitted, and I just run you very quickly to the various OZPs, because part of the request was for the designers to provide an outline zoning plan reflecting their design proposals, and I flicked through them very quickly. Here, these two, you see that there is hardly any difference with the existing OZP. There's a large ground scraper, there's the festival market site, and the users in front of the APA. And then slowly, we see change started to come in. You see here the breaking up of the ground scraper. And that idea comes back quite a bit, breaking up the ground scraper in three different sites and having a green park from the bank to the front. So you see quite some changes. And I'm showing this because I believe that it's important that we should ask ourselves the question, do we limit ourselves to the existing outline zoning plans and the 8 sites? So we see here quite a lot of different shapes and forms of distribution of land uses, including the ground scraper broken up dramatically, including a lawn, pot shapes of plots of land instead of square shapes, but a lot of them being broken up in smaller land uses. Again, this is a very common theme in all the proposals, where you have a great number of different plots, lots of competition between landowners, lots of different smaller land uses. And it goes quite far. So, with that, I hold the summary of the 82 designs that were presented for the design competition. And you can see that there is quite some proposals there to really look at the OZP in a very different way. So I urge you to ask the Town Planning Board to instruct the Planning Department to go beyond the existing mandate and look at the OZP. I really apologize for this. I keep calling. I'll switch this off. The jury report. That doesn't work that way. Okay. The jury regarded the competition, and the jury was an independent jury, and the members are all set out in the report. The jury regarded the competition as a critical reflection on the current planning policy and development practice in Hong Kong. The schemes that they selected offer a critical view. Two are quite similar in the contrast they present, whilst the two others are essentially an enhancement of the current OZP. The four schemes show significant departure from the current practices, and they reflect a comprehensive and measured approach. The jury considered the requirements that we as the organizers had set out, innovative, feasible, and practical, and we had, for the practicality, we have given very specific guidelines, including the need to keep the one central, one bypass, including the need for keeping the waterfront as it is, including recognizing that all the infrastructure that's going in today should not be changed, and so on. And these have been carefully weighted, so those four that have been picked meet all the criteria of practicality and feasibility. However, the jury regarded the criteria of innovation the most important, and that reflects in their choice of the ultimate winner. The jury of 10 members encourages the government to take a bold, coherent approach to the waterfront, include a review of the prevailing planning and the urban design policies that are being applied. So go beyond for what you're doing today. The first prize went to the amphibian carpet, which is a strong environmental concept directed toward a sustainable development and open space solution in relation to both the city and the harbour. And I will go through in more detail the proposal, which is reflected here in the OZP drawings. The second prize went to the Hong Kong waterfront, which responds primarily to the issue of connectivity between the harbour and all the parts of the urban landscape. And quite interestingly, this is quite similar to the first one in the sense that it calls for a lot of decking and allowing a continuity at elevated level and have a lot of infrastructure and land users under cover. The third prize went to the Central Harbourfront Promenade, the Emerald Necklace, which offers a vibrant and diversified waterfront for Hong Kong. This really reflects quite a number of the proposals where you see a distributed land use rather than eight big sites. The design is seen as being a serious attempt at a number of critical considerations. I must note here that this winner included Sujata, who has done a lot of work here also for other projects on the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee, in addition to Dick Rose, another Hong Konger. So although the first two were from outside of Hong Kong, this project and this design proposal had a strong Hong Kong relevance. And you can see here issues such as dealing with the Queen's Pier and dealing with the Smart Ferry. But you see here distributed land uses in quite a dramatic way. You see how the ground scraper is broken up and so on. And we'll go into some more details in a minute. And the fourth prize went to Jack Steininger, who is an old Hong Konger. He was a professor at the Chinese University. Sky for Dragon, Earth for People proposes a sense of urbanity through a series of continuous streets and places redolent of traditional street fabric. So in a sense, it's also quite similar to 503. Again, breaking up the blocks dramatically, providing small streets and squares. Now, this was the judgment from the jury. Now, I've pulled the judgment from the public by looking at the voting forms that were returned after the public the design exhibition, which showed the 82 designs. And you can see that Team 145, which is design 501, was the fifth highest scorer. And we've only looked at the voting forms given on site, because if we look at what happens on the website, this is continuously open to abuse, right? And same as we have seen with the Tamar website, I mean, it is open to abuse in a big way, so we have to disregard that counting. The number 1 to 4 really are somewhat more of the dramatic ones. You see that number 1 in the public voting was actually a perfume jungle with its hard towers. So you see that people tend, in a public vote like that, to go for what has a stronger visual impact and what seems to be more of a stronger architectural statement. They may not as much focus themselves on what happens on the ground level. We see also number 502, which was the second prize, being the number 11 in this in the public voting during the design competition, where people basically put vote on, had to choose choice out of 82 designs. If we look at the public voting during the model exhibition, which we had about 500 forms, the ranking for the number 1 is the same as the jury. So this is complete independent. The jury was not aware of these numbers because we could not give them because we hadn't tallied the votes yet. So you see number 1 with 468 votes and ranking at highest average of 3.6. The difference is in number 2 and 3, whereas the jury had picked that other carpet design. Number 502 is the second. The public had chosen the distributed land use, which was the RTKL and Sudata solution, the Emerald Necklace, as the second best. And you see them actually being very close. So there is a break in public opinion between having a large open park landscape deck versus having a very intense land use with smaller and intimate spaces. So we see those two coming back quite strongly. Let me just take you through the overview of the design submissions. Let me see where that is. Details of the winners. The amphibian carpet. This is the concept from the amphibian carpet. The vision of that is how to relate between the buildings and, on the one hand, our harsh urban fabric and nature, and they come up with the solution of finding a seamless connection between our harsh urban fabric and the nature of the harbour, and bringing back birds and wildlife, and that provides then also space for parties and for entertainment and for enjoyment by the public. They looked at reclamation, how reclamation in the past has proceeded in Hong Kong, and that resulted then in a very hard, always a hard seawall, our accidental waterfront, that we try to protect with our protection of the harbour ordinance, is very much an accidental waterfront. It's not one that we have designed to be the permanent one. And I think that question was well made with this photograph. Should we look at finalizing and softening that hard edge that we have inherited by accident? They proposing to bring back the beach, and remember that there was a beach in Central 150 years ago, and to basically bring back the vegetation, and to connect then the city at from the elevated level with, through a smooth transition by connecting it with this deck, which then connects the walkways continuously to the soft edge waterfront. Now they illustrate that of how that works, how these, the elevated deck then connects into the footbridges. This picture shows that quite clearly. They also explain, because we had a lot of comments out of the first design selection, the question was sustainability. How do you deal with the air ventilation, the energy required to work with this decking system? And they've gone quite in depth to explain that it can work. They showed the what that would do, the overview, if you turn your head from the sea to the land, what the impact is and how their design would work. So providing both an open and a closed area. They say it's sustainable. They highlight the green roof, how it reduces thermal gain and provides a microclimate that dehumidifies and cools the surrounding air, provides new fresh oxygen for the city. They illustrate the air conditioning using the seawater. They illustrate the passive ventilation with these ventilation holes. They explain the rainwater harvesting and greywater recycling opportunity from having such great deck. And they suggest, which I like, of course, coming from Holland, the use of free bikes. Anyway, so the free the membrane that they suggest provides a deck with connectivity, walkways, cycling ways for leisure walking. They have indicated where the users could be under the deck, and they provided what could potentially be a form for an OZP, highlighting all the various uses set out. So they're all very small distributed users, providing short distances between each of them. And this was the OZP drawing. The number 502, again, the decking system, but somewhat of a different concept, more structured. And again, very similar. And you see what the impact would be, where the land users are under it, and the deck people can walk over the buildings and under through the buildings and under through. They can connect with transport. There's the road. This would be the impact at night time. This is the request that OZP, small distributed land users. Emerald necklace. This is a drawing, an illustration of it, but you can see here if you go all the way to the right of the screen, you can see the ground scraper broken up in small buildings and units, an open passageway between the bank and the Star Ferry, and then you go to the left, you see Queen's Pier back in situ with water, a pond in front of it, the Star Ferry clock tower placed on the waterfront. And then so you see all these units, these building units, where you have internal squares and so on, providing very intimate public spaces. You can understand that there is going to be quite some light there, as people can see each other, and the distances from one building to the other building, or from toilet to toilet, are not that far. And that goes to the waterfront. You also see here the pier for the PLA is being pushed out to make sure that it doesn't provide an obstruction along the waterfront. Now they have given us a video which says 8 minutes, but I will only run a few minutes of it.
Not everybody had a video, but we have given this video also to the planning department. The Sky for Dragon, which is by Jack Sidener, he has this little story to tell. I woke up to find I was trapped on top of a podium, surrounded by buildings, and I remembered from the magazines of my university days. But how do I get to where they meet the ground, or do they at all meet the ground? It looked like somebody had played a game of Sin City without the same people. This is his story about coming to Hong Kong. So he went to find the people on the ground, and he found them in Wan Chai, where he discovered a whole rich world of people on the ground. And then he looked up, and the world in the sky that disappears unless you make a special effort to look up. So the combination of having high rises but still having street life, which has disappeared from most of our waterfront. So he started to collect examples of what he called designing down and letting up take care of itself. So take care of the street level as the most important, and don't worry about so much about the height of the buildings above it. So these are the examples that he used, and he did this analysis here where he compared the waterfront cities in other areas like Sydney and Hawaii and Copenhagen and put them on exactly the same scale as our waterfront. So these six pictures here are the same scale as our waterfront. And you can see the distributed land users, and compare that with the eight sites that we go after, and compare them with the number of sites that you see here making up these lively waterfronts. So what he suggests is make a livelihood upfront by bringing back human scale at ground level, and you could inject high rises as where you need the GFA. He also demonstrated that there's a level of connectivity here, indicated with this green pattern of streets and piazzas and walkways, and so you can see a lot of connectivity, interactivity. He indicated the green areas, the green zone between staff area in the bank and green zone through the Tamar site, and then on the left connecting to the APA. And this is a little bit more of a close-up of what that and then all does and how that and all works together. So you have a lot of streets, a lot of interfaces, a lot of small spaces, so it becomes quite intimate and vibrant rather than a big open area. So these are some of the drawings. So he called the sky direct and are subdued, and the ground is preserved and reserved for people. So we had we built a city for people instead of a city for cars and a city for big high rises. And this is his model that they prepared, which all have been donated to the government and planning department. So our recommendations, to come back to my opening statement to you, is that I think it's critical, if you've looked at these design proposals, that the mandate of the urban design study for Central will be expanded. At that time, when the town planning board had its meeting, it was being challenged regarding the Central One sub-bypass. It was primarily challenged, actually, regarding the Central waterfront and the reclamation. And in response to the challenge, it set themselves a very tight and limited brief for the urban design study. But now that it's clear that the challenge is passed, all groups want the Central One sub-bypass, and there is no discussion about the current water edge. So why do we stick to such a limited view for the urban design study, where we only want to work with a refinement of the 8 sites for the existing OZP? There are opportunities beyond refinement of the 8 sites. To bring competition and vibrancy, we'll have to change the plots and the land uses. And we also have to look at land-water interfaces. In most of the proposals, additional piers have been built. And the issue that this may actually cost in terms of harbour, it will also enhance the harbour. And we should challenge this notion that there might be no overriding public need for piers, as only with piers we can enhance the marine uses of the harbour. But most critical is the fact that this committee, at no stage, and in your mandate for the urban design study review, are not looking at transport. Now, I just put here the transport plans in Central, and I overlay just what I did quickly this morning to indicate where the ground level, the street level, is used by vehicles. And this includes, of course, the bus station and the Exchange Square, and the roads around the IFC. And I made a little mistake here by keeping the IFC building under the red too, but you can see the amount of ground level that's going to be dominated by high-capacity roads, bus stops, transport interchanges. That's your challenge in Central. Now, I have not seen any discussion on how long does it take to walk from the Central Ferry Piers to the NTR station? How do you connect from the Airport Express to the Convention Exhibition Center? How do you connect between the buses that are, which bus terminus will have which bus? You have harbour planning principle number 8, where you say that the land take for transport infrastructure should be minimised. Have you tried in any way and form to look at the transport side of this design and ask yourself, have we minimised the land take? Do we have an efficient infrastructure for our transport and our transport services? And if you have not, then when will you? Because at this moment in the mandate, you're only looking at refining the building sites, and you're not looking at all at the transport services. So we strongly recommend that in the review of making Central a fantastic place, one looks at the transport, the services, the connections, the infrastructure design, and the land take. And then separately, you look at the land uses and how they can be enhanced Chairman, I hope the ATC will take it upon himself to write to the Town Planning Board to ask for such expansion of the mandate of the UDS. Thank you very much.
Well, members will note that in our paper number 24, 2007, under item 4, the task group and subcommittee report, that the study consultant of the planning department's urban design study for the new Central Harbourfront is actually reviewing the submission of the four finalists in the competition reported by Paul, and the study consultant will also report back to the task group on urban design study for the new Central Harbourfront of the HEC for any design concept, useful ideas for input to the study. I believe the task group, the HEC task group on urban design study for the new Central Harbourfront would report further details later through Dr. Greg Wong. So basically, the deliberation of this briefing will also be provided to the task group for future reference as well. Having said that, let's see whether we have any comments or feedback from members for discussion on this particular subject. Question? Comment?
我想就覺得就剛才阿波講嘅樣嘢應該分開兩件事講。第一呢就係即係而家由82個變到做由嗰啲jurors呢，跟到4個所謂finalist。咁呢4個咁嘅建議呢，咁當然有啲係當然一定有啲好嘅概念喺裏面。咁亦都
Okay, I think maybe I'll switch to English. You really don't have any effect?
That's coming back now.
You're getting any effect? No?
Okay.
You got it? Got it. Okay. 其實剛才我再重複一次，即是阿 Paul 俾咗個 presentation 咧，就首先就講咗佢嗰82個參賽，跟住咧就由佢啲評選委員咧就選到出嚟翻4個啦。咁即大致上嚟講，4個梗係最佢哋覺得最好。咁呢4個咧，咁有啲交咗去俾 顧問咧，咁個規劃署顧問，梗係喺嗰度攞啲取經，揾啲好嘅，如果係合情合法又適合用嘅，咁啊梗係擺落去用。咁呢個好明顯啦。咁我覺得呢個就係一方面嘅事。咁呢方面咧，我理解咧就應該下個月就應該會有一啲報告，即係話嗰4個 最後嘅方案咧，即係嗰個參賽嘅選出嚟最好嗰4個方案有啲咩嘅？可以用得著嘅咁樣啦。但係第二個咧問題咧就係分開嗰4個方案4個嘅，另外一個比較同另外嘅阿Paul講咧就係第一咧就係要擴充嗰個 UDS 嗰個 study。 即係唔係淨係講嗰八幅地嘅設計咁樣，同埋咧就係要講啲交通嘅問題。咁所以我覺得咧，其實即係正確啲嚟講咧，係兩件事嘅。即係 Part A 就係應該盡量用即係採納人哋啲好嘅意見啦。咁我覺得呢個真係當然好合理啦，又好嘅 idea 好理由唔攞㗎係咪？咁第二個 part 咧就係關於嗰個即係嗰兩點啊，即係關於擴充啊。咁我覺得你嗰兩點咧，好可能咧就係唔係淨係個 task force 嘅
嘅範圍，可能要從要再考慮，即係因為比較上係一個好闊、好普基本嘅問題嚟。
Any further comment, please, Nick?
Chem, first of all, declaring interest in that I was a juror. I was involved in the selection process, but setting that aside, I mean, I think first of all, I think we would be failing in our duty, if you like, if we didn't actually put on record our thanks to Designing Hong Kong. I think Hong Kong should be putting it on record its thanks to Designing Hong Kong for obtaining 82 free, if you like, in inverted commas, potential solutions to the planning of the central waterfront. So, I mean, I think in that sense, we owe a great deal, I think, to Designing Hong Kong. But just setting that aside for a minute, first of all, just picking up Greg Wong's point, I mean, I don't think that necessarily when we come to look at the submissions, we should be restricting ourselves to the four winning submissions, because there were a whole range of good ideas in amongst all the submissions. And I think, although it's a bit of a trawl for the consultant, I think it is worth looking at all the submissions, and because there are some very good ideas even in the non-winning entries, if I may put it that way, and we'd be foolish not to at least review those ideas and see if they have a relevance in terms of what we're trying to do. But where I'm coming from on this exercise, I think there are some key messages, if you like, that came from the exercise. I mean, first of all, the critical importance of the location at the heart of our city, and that it was essential that the ultimate solution responded to that location. It's a once-and-for-all opportunity, and if we get it wrong, we do so, and we mess up the centre of our city in a very serious way. So, I mean, that was one very key message. Secondly, yes, there's some infrastructure constraints, but essentially we've got a clean sheet of paper. It's a bare site. And therefore, it does provide the opportunity for what I would describe as an innovative and bold response to land use planning and urban design. We're not trying to work around buildings. It's unusual for Hong Kong to have a clean sheet of paper, if you like, and therefore we have no excuse, if you like, for getting it wrong. And I think we could be bold and innovative in terms of our land use and planning response. Thirdly, and many of the submissions made this point, it's vital that we devise a solution that reflects Hong Kong's aspirations to be a world-class city. In other words, the solution should be world-class, which reflects Hong Kong's aspirations to be such a city. And in that sense, where I'm coming from, if that does involve revisiting the OZP, so be it. I mean, we want a world-class solution. We want something that is relevant to this location, with no excuse for getting it wrong. And if that means revisiting the OZP as part of that process, I think we should be brave and do it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Nate. Thanks. Any further comment, suggestion? Yes, Carl.
Hey, Chairman, 我想提出三點啫，即係一啲點嘅 clarification 嘅，其實就我想問一問，即係我而家嗰 existing 嘅 design 咧，幾個參選嗰幾個design 師係咪已經 consider 咗係即係 go beyond X size and 同埋嗰個 plot 咧，還是係已經係其實係 work within this limit 啫？啊，呢個第一個問題。第一個問題就係話，其實就我想嗰個 group of design， 其實就雖然我哋話暫時好似都係睇下呢個好 local 嘅 design， 其實佢有冇配合兩個睇法？就係將第一就話從一個 horizontal 嘅角度嚟睇咧，就唔係同 horizontal 角度橫向睇咧，其實就話有冇 concept 同埋其實整個香港島其實就話唔係咁 local 噶，其實點樣配合翻香港島？其實將來啲嗰個情況點配合？第二個就話比較上我哋話。從一個 vertical 嚟，即係話喺成個即係時間轉變嘅情況之下咧，個發展嘅過程之中咧，其實呢個 design 會唔會需要其他地方將來點樣去配合佢哋咧？啊，呢個第二個問題。第三個問題就話，其實我哋個 visual impact 唔單止係呢個區嘅，佢其實冇 consider 埋 the other side of the Hong Kong， the other side of the harbour 尖沙咀或者嗰笪，其實嗰邊配合到之後，個 visual impact 係咪？好 elegant 還是話，或者我哋其實 the other side of the border 將來都要有相對嘅轉變，即係我覺得呢啲都可能係應該，如果話一個比較理想啲嘅 design 係應該要 consider 埋呢幾個因素嘅。
因為你三個問題是問阿 Paul 先嚟噶，好，如果你想少少。
The current designs that are, I'm not sure your first question whether it was addressed to me or to the planning department.
As you, at the end of your presentation, you said that we should go beyond the egg size,
right,
and also the plot ratio.
Well, I'm just going to go by what the mandate is for the study and all the comments being made in all various including the minutes of previous meetings, for the scope of the study, sort of the refinement of the existing urban design framework, and basically it looks at refining existing to prepare the planning design briefs for the key sites, and those are the key eight sites to guide future developments of those eight sites. Those are the comments being made at all times by the government. So from that perspective, I can only read that the urban design study is limited to the eight sites and only to the refinement of those eight sites, and that there is a very limited perspective there. But that's not for me to answer, really. I agree. For the design of this site, one should look at Hong Kong overall. In fact, one should look at possibly at Hong Kong within the context of the Pearl River Delta, because it's not just, you know, we tend to talk about central in Hong Kong as being Four Seasons Hotel for Tamar. But if you take it from the Pearl River Delta, which would be probably more like a planning model as in another country, Hong Kong is where people would come for the weekend. And the residents of the Pearl River Delta are the residents of this area, and Hong Kong is the center of that. It's the entire harbor district which would be the center, rather than just that small piece. But in planning the overall aspect of this, I think moving forward, you'll have to be specific to the site, otherwise you can't get anything done. But I would suggest that looking at this particular area, that it's more important to look at what started off the design for this area, which is the Central Monster Bypass. So one should look, if you want to look at it comprehensively, you should look from North Point back to Rumsey Street. And you should look at that entire area where you run because that's where we do the intervention, that's where we're putting in the Central Monster Bypass, that's what creates the opportunity, that's what the challenge is. And I would suggest that it's wrong to segment in North Point, Wan Chai, and then the Central OZP separately. So I would suggest at least that is one overall aspect that should be looked at. The impact, the visual impact from across the harbour, yes, of course, that's one of the aspects that should be considered. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Any further question? Hi, Eva, please.
或者我都答一答嗰個 urban design studies 啦。我哋唔係淨係睇八個 key sites。In fact 咧，就係包括一個中環一個 area。我哋嘅重點咧就係睇 urban design。咁當然咧係包括一啲將會有建設嘅 site， 同埋嗰個 public realm 公共嘅空間，包括一啲路啊，公共的設施啊，同埋嗰啲休憩公園，咁其實都係一個整體性嘅。咁由於嗰個研究咧，我哋嘅重點係一個叫做都市嘅設計，係一個 urban design 呢個 issue。咁所以咧就唔係話喺呢一個研究裏邊咧，可以擴闊到由北角一路去到Rumsey Street 嗰個公園，但係唔等於喺成個規劃上，我哋係冇照顧到其他沿海嘅地方嘅。咁其實我哋亦都係按照共建委員會定咗嘅 Harbour Planning 嘅 principle 同埋啲 guidelines 啦，其餘嘅海邊嘅地帶咧，我哋都係會照顧到係用呢一個嘅 Harbour Planning 呢個 principle 落去咁樣去做。
多謝 Eva 澄清嚇，有冇其他嘅 comment 或者 query 咧？係冇咧。Well, thanks very much, Paul. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Thank you.